brother. Donald. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Hey, man. Everybody just stand back up and turn around and shake hands with somebody and say howdy. Yes. If you're physically able, just say howdy. Good to see you. Thank God for you coming. Amen. Stretch, everybody, just stretch out a little bit. You know, do this. You know, you've been sitting for a little while. Amen. If you're able, jump up and down a little bit. Yeah. Ain't God good? Amen. If you have to take a little 5-minute break, just go right ahead. If you need to step out to the restroom or something, that's fine. You can sit down anytime you want to. If you want to stand up a little bit, that's all right too. Ain't God good? That was a good message tonight, good preaching tonight. Absolutely. Every one of us needed that preaching tonight. Absolutely. It'll help us. That preaching will make you stop, look, and listen, and examine. You know, the Bible talks about examining ourselves, and that's the kind of preaching that'll get us to open up the King James Bible and examine ourselves and see where we stand before God. Hallelujah. Well, we could leave right now. It says it's been good to be in the house of God, that's for sure, and we sure have got fed tonight through Brother Bill. He's a wonderful preacher. I've been knowing him for years, friend of ours, and we praise the Lord for him. He hasn't compromised on the Word of God, has he? Well, if you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And I promise you, I'll let you out of here in about 25 or 30 minutes, the good Lord willing. I think I can preach this message in that length of time, maybe less than that. I don't know whether we need any more preaching tonight or not, brother. Donnie, we might all just take time to get on the altar and everybody pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, if you find your place there, it only has 10 verses in it in this chapter. 1 Thessalonians, if you have your place, say amen. Amen. If you don't have your place, say, where's it at? All right, amen. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's on page 1267. Amen. Right after Colossians, if you will, please. And then 1 Thessalonians. And it's got 10 verses in this chapter. And 10, the number 10, means a testimony. And I'm going to preach on the testimony of the church here at Thessalonica. The Bible said it talks about the model church. And he said in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get peace from the world, you get it from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said in verse number 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The Bible said in verse number 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For it says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Now be very careful and listen very carefully at verse 9 and verse number 10. The Bible said, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, he says, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. My Father, thank you for the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. Thank you for the message by Brother Bill. God, what a blessing, what a help it was to us. And now, Lord, I pray that you touch me in these next few moments now to be a blessing as we preach the word of God. Speak to your heart and give us clarity of mind. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to that one that may be here tonight lost, that may be here, Lord, out of the will of God. And may they get it right before they leave the church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And amen. Three things I want you to notice in these 10 verses of scripture concerning the church at Thessalonica. First of all, we find that they were worshipers of God. The Bible said in verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now they turned from idols, my friend, and turned to God from idols to serve the living God. You cannot serve the living God while you are serving idols. And an idol is anything that stands between you and God. It could be your recliner, it could be your car, it could be your truck, it could be your job, it could be your family, it could be your friends. Anything that stands between you and God is an idol. And the Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And when he talks about little children in 1 John has got 5 chapters in it, 2 John's got 1 chapter, and 3 John has got 1 chapter. But when he calls us little children, he's talking about the born again, blood washed believers that have repented their sin and received Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, yes, my friend. You see, the Bible talks about idols, and Paul talked about idols over in the 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And notice what the Apostle Paul had to say about these idols. Oh, he said in 1 Corinthians, I said 2 Corinthians, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 2, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 2. I want to read verse 1 and verse number 2. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 and verse number 2, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. Paul called an idol a dumb thing. All idols are dumb idols, is what he said, even as ye were led. Now, if you'll turn to Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 8, and notice what he had to say concerning these idols, my friend. In chapter number 4 and verse number 8 of Galatians, the Bible says, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are not gods. And so Paul is telling us here in this chapter, and he's praising these people that now they have turned from their idols and they have turned to God. They are worshiping God. Now, you can't worship the Lord unless you get saved by the grace of God. And then you can't worship the Lord, as Brother Bill taught, if you're stomping the Lord under your feet, and if you're serving idols and you got idols before you in God, then you're not going to worship him. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4 and verse number 24, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that comes from our heart through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the word worship there means an act of reverence rendered to God. An act of reverence rendered to God. You see, if you're trying to serve two masters, you're not going to be able to do that. It's impossible to do that, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 in verse number 24, no man can serve two masters. Now mark it down. Neither can I, neither can you serve two masters. I don't care if you're a preacher, I don't care if you're a deacon, I don't care who you are, how young you are, how educated, uneducated, rich or poor, no man can serve two masters, is what Jesus said. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's talking about riches, that's talking about worldliness, that's talking about the things of the world. Brother, I'm telling you, you'll never be able to do that. And Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, he said, for this cause I also suffered these things. Notice, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12, and 1 Timothy is found after the book of 2 Thessalonians. And Paul said this in verse number 12, did I give it? I'll get it right here in just a moment by the good grace of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, yes, my friend, I'm telling you that when the Apostle Paul got saved by the grace of God, he no longer worshiped idols, but he worshiped the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that you are a worshiper of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalm chapter 96 and verse number 5. In Psalm 96 and verse number 5, I want to give this to you tonight, this one verse of scripture that'll be a blessing to you. In Psalm 96 and verse number 5. Do you have your place yet? I don't have mine. I'm looking for it right now. The Bible said, for all the gods of the nations are idols. All the little gods of the nation are idols, my friend. And we can't worship idols and worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, for all gods, that's little gods, little G-O-D-S, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Oh, aren't you glad you're serving the Lord that made the heavens? Thank God for that. I'm so glad the Bible tells me over in the book of Psalms, if you want to turn, I'm still in it. The Bible said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I want to worship the one that suffered and bled and died on the cross of my sin, on the cross for my sin and for your sins, my friend. And so this was a church that was worshiping the Lord God Almighty. Did you know when we worship God, we see him and we see the purpose for our lives? We see over in the book of Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9, I want to see the Lord, don't you? The Bible said in verse number 9 of Hebrews 2, but we see Jesus. When we come to the house of God, when a man of God gets up and preaches like Brother Bill preached, we ought to be able to see Jesus. It makes no difference whether it's me preaching or whether it's Brother Bill preaching or James preaching or some other preacher. We ought to preach, my friend, with purity and power and praise, that people might not see us, but they might see the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we leave the house of God, we should not be able to say, boy, didn't they bring good messages? And that's all right to say that, but don't you think it sounds a whole lot better when people should leave the church and say, boy, did not we see Jesus? Did not we feel Jesus? Was not Jesus exalted and glorified? And the Bible said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that ye by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And that word taste there means experience. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary for you and I and for the sins of the whole world. And yes, sir, and the Bible says over in the book of Philippians chapter number 3, talking about worship of the Lord, here's what Paul said. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Your flesh will let you down. My flesh has let me down. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse number 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Brother and sister, our flesh is weak. And if we don't die daily and commit our flesh unto God, it will lead us astray. And the Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to pray and ask God to lead us, ask God to guide us, and God will lead us in the paths of righteousness according to the book of Psalm chapter number 23 and verse 3 and 4. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Brother Bill, when I'm worshiping God in the spirit, I'm going to be rejoicing in him. But if I'm not worshiping God, I will not rejoice in him. And the psalmist said in Psalm 85 and verse number 6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I'm glad when revival comes, there will be rejoicing in Jesus Christ, and we can have no confidence in the flesh because our flesh will fail us. Our flesh will let us down. It let David down. I'll tell you, my friend, it let Solomon down. It let Samson down. I'm telling you, it'll let us down. We cannot have any confidence in it. Absolutely. When we look in the mirror every morning, we ought to look in that mirror, and you know who's looking back at us? It is us. And we ought to say, I'm not going to have any confidence in you today at all, because you're going to fail me and you're going to let me down. But my Jesus, praise God, is kneeling, my friend. My Jesus is praying for me, and he said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. He sits on the right hand of the throne of God tonight, praying for me and praying for you, thank God. And he does it daily. Isn't that a blessing to know that? Woo! So, my friend, when we worship the Lord, we will see Jesus, and we will also see the purpose for our lives, and true worship gives direction for our lives. And I want to tell you that true worship gives strength in the time of weakness. And Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My strength is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and your strength is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the psalmist said over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 46 and verse number 1, when you get home tonight, if you read all of Psalm chapter number 46, you'll go to bed saying, hallelujah, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I'm going to read 2 verses is all I'm going to read tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. I'm glad there is a river. I'm glad there is a way. I'm glad there is strength. I'm glad when we're down, he'll pick us up. Hallelujah. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright in the morning star. He's with us when we're in the valley. He's with us when they're on the mountaintop. He's with us when we can feel God, when we can't feel God, when we can track God, when we can't track God, when we understand God, when we don't understand God. I'm glad he's right there with us, amen. When the sun is shining and the sun's not shining, when the hail is coming down and the rain is coming down and the day is cloudy, I'm glad he's above all of the cloudy days in the skies. And where Jesus is, thank God there's light, there's eternal light, and that's where we're going when we leave this world. Somebody say amen. And so we find, first of all, my friend, we find a church that is worshiping God. And we have worshiped God this week. We find a working church. The Bible talks about the working church here. The Bible said in verse number 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God." My God is alive forevermore, and your God is alive forevermore. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and in the verse number 10. And the Bible says we don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. In Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, Paul said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost of God." Amen. The word work there means to serve. I'm glad the Bible said they were serving from their heart, and their service was real. In 1 Thessalonians, am I going too fast for you? Amen. If I am, you slow down. I mean, you speed up, and I'll say where I am. In verse number 3, the Bible said this. Look at the work here. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love." If my work is supposed to be a work of faith, and my labor is supposed to be a labor of love. And if it's not a work by faith, and it's not a labor of love and patience of hope, it says, "In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." I want to tell you, God knows my motive for working. God knows your motive for working. God knows my motive for preaching the Word of God. God knows your motive for preaching the Word of God. And we're going to stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to stand there, and we're going to be judged for our faithfulness in the things of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when you get home and find out what your motive is. Amen. And so we find that God is simple asking. Now get this down. Get this down in black and white. Get it down in large letters where you can see it. Get it down in your heart, and it'll be a blessing what I'm getting ready to say. God is simply asking for your best in the place given unto you. I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you got 10, I don't care if you got 20, I don't care if you've got 50, or if you've got 100, if you've got 1,000, God said to give it your best and don't worry about it. Don't go to bed worrying about it. Just give it your best. Say amen. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I can't jump as I used to. I'm 71 years old. In August, I'll be 72. I'm still jumping, but not quite as high. But I want to give God my very best in the place where God has put me, at the Westside Baptist Church for 42 years. I'm just going to give it my best and not worry about it. Don't worry about what other people think about it. Amen. You just give it your best. Say amen. Dr. Harold B. Siler told us preachers a long time ago, Brother Bill. He said, "Preach a man." He said, "You studied that word of God." He said, "You get up and preach what God lays on your heart." And he said, "Listen." And then he said, "You go home and you go to bed and go to sleep and let God give the results." Amen. Hallelujah. Let God do his part and let us do our part. Amen. Isn't that a blessing from God? I know a preacher friend that left a meeting one time, and I said, "Why are you leaving?" He said, "They're not receiving my preaching." I said, "Let me tell you
something. I don't care who's behind that pulpit and preaching the word of God. Everybody's not going to receive your preaching. I said, everybody's not receiving my preaching. Everybody's not receiving your preaching. But thank God for those that do. Say amen. Thank God somebody's going to receive it and somebody's going to obey it. Say amen. Yeah. Woo! Man, a lifetime. God is good. Oh, isn't it a blessing to know that God is with us? Your job, my job, may be small and often unnoticed. Did you get that? Our job may be small and our job may be often unnoticed and nobody knows anything about us. But if you do your best, your reward is equal to that of the most distinguished hero whose work is acclaimed or known by the world. Say amen to me. Isn't that a blessing from God? Oh, yes, brother, I could give you some more, but I'm going to preach 5 minutes. Amen. 5 more minutes. Did you know this church was a worshiping church? Did you know this church was a working church? Working church. James said, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, you can't show me your works without faith. You can't show me that. Praise God. Say amen. You show me your works without your faith, and I'll show you my works by my faith. Amen. So thirdly, it was a waiting church. Nobody likes to wait, do they? Can't hardly stand it when the red light's stuck and you think it's stuck and it ain't been on but 5 seconds. That went over like a lead balloon. It was a waiting church. The Bible says in verse number 10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were a waiting church. They were waiting for the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But while they were waiting, they were worshiping. While they were waiting, my friend, they were working. And they were working with great expectation that Jesus Christ was coming back again. Yes, sir, our Lord is coming. He said so in Revelation 22 in verse number 17 through verse number 19. He said so in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. He said, my friend, so in Matthew 24 and verse number 44, the Lord is coming again. The assurance of the Christian's hope is a return of the resurrection, ascended Christ to raise the bodies of those who died in the Lord and to glorify the living saints. The Lord himself personally, bodily, shall come down from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm getting out of here one of these days, and you're getting out of here one of these days, praise God, because Jesus said, they tell me that one verse out of every 25 verses in the New Testament makes references to the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he didn't have to say it but one time before, thank God, to make it so. Amen. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm ready to go, aren't you? I'm ready to meet the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you just go right ahead and bloom where God plants you and just keep on loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't look to the left and don't look to the right, but look up, praise God, with the expectation that Jesus Christ is coming, and don't feel sorry for yourself if you're a child of God. Get your head up, amen. You're somebody headed somewhere, and that's a born again believer. You're somebody and you're headed somewhere, and that's heaven. You're going to see someone, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm through preaching. Let's stand. Woo! Everybody standing that's able, if you're not able, just sit down. Amen.